My God, my God, why? It's an age-old question. It's been around a long time. Moses asked it as he was leading the rebellious people of Israel. Why have you brought this trouble on your servant, Lord? Jeremiah asked it repeatedly when his faithful preaching brought him nothing but hostility instead of gratitude and repentance. Why did you give me such a rotten job, Lord? Habakkuk asked it when he saw that the wicked people in the world were the ones who were succeeding and everything seemed to be going their way. And he asked, why don't you do something, Lord? Why? You know, the disciples asked it too. During Jesus' ministry, they came across a man who had been born blind, and in their way of thinking, the man or his parents must have done something to deserve this. And so they asked, why did this happen, Lord? Almost more out of idle curiosity than questioning. Martha asked it too. 4 days after her brother had died, and Jesus finally arrived, she said, why didn't you come sooner? Yeah, we ask it too, don't we? Why? Why do I have all these troubles? Why don't I understand? Why does life never seem to go my way? Why do I get sick? Why do I lose my job? Why did you take my spouse? Why? It comes up again and again. And we know the answer to the question. We know that the Lord's ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so we are kind of left to just ask the question and confess with the Apostle Paul. As we look at God's ways in the world, we say, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. But we ask why. Because we know that we have a God that is so much greater than us and so much deeper and broader, and we can't even possibly fathom the answer to our question. But that means that we're asking the right person, aren't we, when we ask why. But now, today, we hear our Lord Jesus on this Good Friday ask why. My God, why have you forsaken me? Now, whether that makes you feel better because Jesus seems to be just like you, or whether that makes you feel worse because Jesus seems just like you, the reality of the situation is finally the point, isn't it? God the Father, in this moment, has turned away from God the Son. It's the same God the Father who several times during Jesus' ministry clearly proclaimed for all the world, this is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. And now is hiding his face from that very same Son, showing none of that fatherly love for his child. Instead, the Father letting his Son experience only wrath and judgment. It's then we start to get an inkling of what it was like for Jesus as he suffered in darkness on that cross on that first Good Friday. He was suffering separation from God, abandoned, forsaken by his own Father. That's the essence of punishment in hell, eternal death. Jesus tells us in his own words that he is suffering the torments of hell during those 3 hours of darkness on the cross. Now, how God can be forsaken by God? Well, of course, we cannot say. That's so beyond us. Only God can fully understand. But that's also finally the answer to our Savior's question. Because in those words, we are reminded of how deeply, how humbly he loved you and me and willingly went to that cross for you. Why did God suffer the torments of hell? The answer is for us sinners. We who richly deserved that torment. We who richly deserved that eternal death, that eternal separation from God. The answer to our Savior's question why is simply this. The grace of God for you. Yeah, the death and torments of Christ were a fearful preaching of God's anger and wrath against sin and sinners. But they are a beautiful proclamation of the grace of God towards sinners. Later tonight, in our 7 o'clock service of darkness, the tradition here at New Life is to close the service with those beautiful words that are a prayer that are on the lips of all God's children. Abide with me. We want God. We long for God. We count on God abiding with us because we recognize that what greater fear can there be than being left to ourselves, to our own power, our own devices, our own weaknesses. This life, on our own, completely separated from God, it can't get any worse. In fact, if God is not abiding with us, there's nothing left for us but death. Can you imagine facing that inevitable hour of our own life's end completely on our own? But again, the answer to Jesus' question of why is the same answer that we hear and need and must have as we face our own death. It's God's grace. God abandoned his own dear Son so that you and I, as children of God, by faith in Jesus Christ, will never be alone. Will never be abandoned. Will not have to cry out on our deathbed, my God, why have you forsaken me? But find nothing but God's eternal presence at our side. Just as St. Paul writes, he died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. I have no doubt that you've experienced, I've experienced, we've all been there, where the disappointments and troubles and trials of life keep us. They're so big in front of us that it's hard for us to see God at work or God's presence right there with us. Yet he will never forget his promise to you and me. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Over all of our troubles and trials, God's hand writes that promise, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Because God abandoned his Son and in so doing appeased his own wrath against sin through Jesus. Now God can say to his children, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And when those hard times come along, here's what he says. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Because our Savior Jesus was abandoned for us, we can make Paul's firm conviction our own and say with him, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Even in the hour of death, we can say with King David, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That means we can face even death with that same calm assurance that God will not abandon even our bodies to the grave. But as he raised up his own Son, he will raise you and me on that last glorious day, imperishable, fit to live with him forever and ever. My God, why did you forsake Jesus? Well, the answer is this. that you and I can confidently pray to our once forsaken, now risen and ascended Savior, hold thou thy cross before my closing eyes. Shine through the gloom and point me to the skies. Heaven's morning breaks and earth's vain shadows flee. In life, in death, Lord, abide with me.